Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Chernia.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in studio for the second part of the show is Kevin Emerson. He's the Energy Efficiency Program Director with Utah Clean Energy. They're a nonprofit down in headquartered down in Salt Lake City, where lots of clean energy is a good idea.
Hi.
Right, Kevin?
Yeah, thanks for having me. That's a great idea. But not just in the Valley, but everywhere.
Exactly.
Across the state and the West.
But if you're going to start somewhere in this state, you might as well start down in Salt
Lake
City. So let's talk a little bit about some things going on at Utah Clean Energy.
Yeah.
Some of the programs and projects you have going on. One of them involves the electric vehicle discount program.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
So, again, we're a not-for-profit organization. We're nonpartisan. We try to advance solutions to transition more rapidly to the clean energy economy, as we like to call it. And one of the ways we work is by sponsoring programs in partnership with other entities that just help people get into cleaner technology sooner. So we have going on right now, in partnership with Live Electric and Rocky Mountain Power, the Live Electric EV discount program. It actually just got extended through September. So we have more time for folks to, you know, get into an electric vehicle. Really, the goal of this is to make it simpler to bring electric vehicles at a discounted price to folks who are ready to make the shift.
So does it include certain types of vehicles or any electric vehicle? Or?
This particular discount right now is limited to the newest Nissan Leaf.
Okay.
So it's a 2018 Leaf with the extended range of, I think it's at least it's about 150 or miles or more range at this point, up from, you know, the kind of the 70-mile range.
Right. And so now you can, if you own one up here, I know a few people that own them, they have no problem getting down to the city or down to the airport and back. No range anxiety with respect to that anymore.
The range is a lot better, and it overcomes that issue, as does a lot of the great, you know, electric vehicle charging installations that have been happening throughout the Valley, which is, you know, a separate issue, but obviously intertwined. And it's great to see there's some level 3 chargers and level 2 chargers now at the Kimball Junction area at the Summit County Library, if you do need them. But
yeah.
So how does the program work? If you purchase this Leaf, you receive a rebate?
So the discount is a partnership between actually the manufacturer, the Nissan manufacturer level discount, to all Rocky Mountain Power customers. And so if you're interested, you go on the website, which is I'm going to have to look it up real quick and just remind myself of what it is.
You can probably just Google.
Go on the website. If you're a Rocky Mountain Power customer, you just take your power bill into the dealer with you. And all the dealers are listed on our website. And it's basically every Nissan dealership in the Valley.
Right.
Well, actually across the state. And
oh, wow.
You take your Rocky Mountain Power bill in just to show, yeah, I'm a Rocky Mountain Power customer. And they just give you the $3,000 discount right there.
And so I think, is this the website, utahev.org?
That's
does this
the
look
website.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So utahev.org is where you can go to learn a little bit more about the program. And
again, this is just for Nissan Leafs.
At this point, this particular discount.
No Teslas or BMW i whatever. So,
yeah.
But that's fine. Nissan Leafs are great vehicles.
It's a great vehicle.
I know. Again, the Leaf owners that I know really like their vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, these have a big picture, high positive impact on, you know, on carbon emissions, especially as we transition to higher percentages of renewable energy in our electricity mix. But they also are a really important strategy that we can get into now to address our local air quality challenges. So.
Well, and real quick, there's been quite a few air quality challenges going on this summer down in Salt Lake City with respect to ozone. That's the pollutant of concern during the summer.
Yeah.
And one of the major reasons you have high ozone levels down there is because of all the vehicles and the hydrocarbons that are emitted from these vehicles, which is a component. These hydrocarbons are a component in the formation of low-level ozone.
Yep, exactly.
So the more we can do to, maybe drive electric vehicles or hybrids or drive less in general, the better our air is down in Salt Lake City.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So just following up on the ozone piece, let's talk a little bit about why ozone matters. I think, you know, in the winter we talk a lot about like the particulate matter, and it's really clear and obvious to all of us how that impacts health. What about ozone?
Well, yeah, we hear a lot about, and rightly so, the 24-hour spikes of pollution emissions in the valley in the wintertime. But in the summertime, those same kind of emissions interact with sunlight in the atmosphere to form ozone, which is a respiratory irritant when it's at ground level. It's a really important thing to have high up in the atmosphere. But when it's down where we live, mm-hmm. It contributes to significant respiratory problems as well. And I don't have the number off the top of my head, but I know that our valley is we're kind of on the hot list, if you will, of having a pretty serious ozone problem as well. So technologies like this, anything we can do to reduce the emission of nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds and all those things that come out of burning fossil fuels, basically, we need to be accelerating those.
Okay, so that's the electric vehicle discount program. Anything else going on with respect to, say, net metering or so?
Well,
and solar wind program. Okay.
There's there's so many things going on down around the state. Net metering is definitely one of the big priorities for us right now, and it's in kind of a research discovery phase. Just as a reminder, up till last November, the paradigm of net metering that had existed for, a decade or so or 15 years in the state of Utah, ended. And that was a result of a settlement with multiple parties, the utility, some of the regulators, our organization, working in partnership with the solar industry and folks. And while it wasn't perfect, it was better than what was being proposed, where there was Rocky Mountain Power is proposing a very dramatic overhaul of net metering rules, which is the way rooftop solar owners get credited for excess solar power they generate. So kind of the business as usual net metering policy ended at the end of November, and we're now in kind of a transition phase where the rates that you get for net metering for excess generation through solar power generation is almost as good as what we had under net metering, and that'll be in place for the next 2 years or so. We're not sure exactly how long it'll be, because it depends on how much solar is installed and how many folks participate in this new new export credit.
Right.
While there's this transition period, Utah Clean Energy is advocating with numerous other parties to really understand the value that rooftop solar brings to our grid and advocate for a positive, more permanent credit that will be applied for solar generation.
Okay.
Interesting. So kind of in place of some of that net metering credit that you would get?
Net metering is over. And so whatever happens in the future will be different, but there will be some, we're pushing hard, so there will be some, valuable and correctly valued benefit that solar provider or solar folks who install solar at home and generate excess get, that they get compensated for that.
Okay.
And we plan to have someone on from Rocky Mountain Power on the show next week to talk a little bit more about that and some of the other programs going on locally. Lou Carton from Park City Municipal will also be joining us next week to talk about that. So do you have a sense of the growth of solar in terms of kilowatt hours year over year? What do the trends look like? I know they're going up, but do you have any specific numbers there?
I don't have my finger on the pulse of the solar numbers as much as some of the folks in our office who specialize in the solar programs. But I know that, over the last several years, solar has been about doubling, and the rate of installation has been about doubling every year.
Right.
And that's because the market is maturing, because solar prices are declining, more and more people realize the value that it has. I think the proposal to dramatically change net metering definitely had a negative impact on the market. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing still a strong level of interest because of the kind of the middle ground settlement that occurred that still really protects and helps the solar industry grow. But I don't have, I don't have most recent numbers, though I will say that we've definitely heard that, that folks are concerned and want to make sure that whatever happens out of this, after this transition period with the new net metering paradigm is, positively values solar.
So what about energy efficiency? Are we still using as much energy, you know, per household or per person mm-hmm. as we always have? Is that increasing, decreasing?
So on a kind of a statewide basis across Rocky Mountain Power Service territory, there's been some exciting developments with how we're using electricity. And a big part of it is that over the last several years, or up until recently, over the last number of years, every year our load growth or our demand for electricity had been increasing. And we're now at a situation where we've almost flatlined load growth. So the amount of electricity we need each year increases just a tiny bit, but it's close to kind of flat.
Interesting.
And that's what we want to see. And that's due in part because of the successful investment in energy efficiency by Rocky Mountain Power on behalf of its ratepayers who spend money every month on their utility bills to fund the energy efficiency programs that Rocky Mountain Power offers. So they've been successful, and energy efficiency continues to be one of the cheapest and cleanest ways to meet our future energy needs, because the cleanest kilowatt hour is the kilowatt hour we don't use.
Right. I like to describe
like
it as
energy efficiency program director.
Thanks.
I like to describe it as saving money at the speed of light. Right? Because that's what you're doing. Every
exactly
kilowatt
right.
hour that I don't consume saves me money and protects the environment too.
Well, yeah, and every time you invest in a more efficient light bulb or a smart thermostat or insulation, you actually have compounding savings. You have energy and costs that you didn't use, or that energy you didn't use and money you've saved in year one, but then in year two, in year three, and
right.
over the lifetime of those energy efficiency technologies, they're saving you money as well as reducing your footprint.
Is there any sense of where most of this savings is coming from? Is it, is it LED bulbs or smart thermostats or better insulation or windows, or is it just some combination of
It's definitely happening across the board, although I will say there's been just dramatic advancements in highly efficient lighting technologies. So LEDs are starting to become the norm. They're not the standard yet, but in some situations, that's looking like that's the case. And, when you can replace a 50 to 100 watt light bulb with a 9 watt LED and it lasts, for 13, 14 years, and it locks in that, a reduced amount of consumption, that has a big impact when you do it home by home and business by business, and it becomes the...
Well, here's what I see as the next big challenge is going to be in the areas of air conditioning. Because as we get warmer, and we're all getting warmer, we're going to see more and more homes with either window units or central air conditioning units.
Mm-hmm.
And those are big energy consumers. And there's where technology, efficient systems, AC systems, will play a big role.
And we definitely see that happening. And the most efficient air conditioning is, the most efficient systems are what we want to see continue to be incentivized through Rocky Mountain Power's incentives. In addition, though, we would like to see greater promotion of, cooling technologies that can save 50 to 80% compared to central AC, which is, I like to call, evaporative cooling. Mm-hmm. Other folks know it as swamp coolers.
Right.
You use 50 to 80% less power over the course of the summer by using evaporative cooling rather than central air conditioning, because really you're just using a little bit of electricity to, pump water.
Right.
And then a fan instead of, a compressor, which...
And you're creating cool air by using that water as a source of a cooler air, relatively speaking. So swamp coolers are actually more in this climate, in this setting, are more energy efficient than a central air conditioner, which is cooling the entire house.
Much, much more efficient.
Huh.
And you can have central you can have kind of centrally ducted evaporative cooling systems, which reach multiple rooms, and it is important to keep in mind, especially for folks who maybe have immigrated to Utah and to this climate. Utah is a very arid climate most of the year, so it's very well suited for our climate. Other states, not so much, because when you have high levels of humidity, you don't have the evaporative kind of action.
Right, and that's
that
why I say in this setting, in a dry setting.
It's perfect for our climate.
So, and swamp coolers actually add moisture to
the
air too?
So
they actually add,
the
and that, it, that lends itself to feeling relatively cooler because there's more moisture in the air.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd like to see every home have evaporative cooling and ceiling fans, so I think that's a great combination.
Perfect.
Yeah. Just to add to that, to your comment about, these central systems, the entire Swanner Eco Center, where I work, is done through evaporative cooling. Really? So we don't have any refrigerants in there. It's not your traditional AC. It's a massive evaporative cooling system, massive swamp cooler, essentially.
Really?
A sophisticated swamp cooler that cools.
And staff is happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So
go to another reason to visit Swanner Eco Center, just to experience how well their evaporative
Chris,
cooling system.
I will say before we leave the topic of energy efficiency is we are, and this is related to some of our other issues as well, or other areas of work, is that we are constantly looking to advocate for the kind of energy future we want to see in multiple kind of pathways. One of those pathways is, as Rocky Mountain Power plans its next 20-year energy plan, that we participate as a stakeholder and advocate for the transition that we want to see to more renewables as well as a more energy-efficient economy. And unfortunately, in their last plan, their kind of savings targets through energy efficiency or through the plan, dramatically reduce the amount of energy efficiency every year for the next 20 years. That's kind of a big item for us, and we're looking to ask questions to better understand some of the assumptions and propose, you know, bringing those investments and kind of the savings targets and energy efficiency back up to what they were just a couple plans ago. We had a very strong 20-year plan in investment in energy efficiency that was showing more energy savings and more energy savings every year. Now, unfortunately, we're seeing the opposite. So that's a big issue for us.
Okay.
So if people are interested in learning more about that plan or, you know, giving feedback, what's the best way to do that?
Well, you could come to the all-day IRP stakeholder meetings, public stakeholder meetings.
All right.
Although folks probably, most of folks listening would probably be better just to visit our website, utahcleanenergy.org, and we'll be posting updates on what's happening on that front regularly.
Okay. All right. Just a few more minutes. Any other programs with building codes? Anything new in building codes? Because we're always trying to address the state's policy on building codes and energy.
Yeah, there are a few things that we're doing with respect to building codes and also voluntary approaches to increase interest in and uptake of zero energy building design and construction.
Mm.
But before I get there, I did want to mention that, and this is just kind of a good follow up from last your last guest is the conversation around climate change over the last number of years in the state of Utah has been one that's been very political. And our organization is working in partnership with a number of others through two initiatives. One, the Utah Climate Action Network, and another, Path to Positive, where we're working with business and community leaders to really make it a regular thing to talk about the risks to the environment, to our economy, to our health of climate change, to depoliticize it and make it something that it's safe and actually really necessary and urgent to talk about, because we can't really proactively address climate change without talking about it first. So you can Google Utah Climate Action Network. You can Google A Path to Positive Utah. Those are initiatives that we're involved in. We spent a lot of time on that to really normalize the conversation around climate, but also work with decision makers, community leaders, lawmakers to do bold things around advancing solutions to climate.
Okay. But building energy codes, is that included in some policy actions? Is there any movement there?
Yeah, so the state, again, will be looking at updating its minimum standards for construction, which include all the ways that buildings are constructed, primarily new buildings, but also major retrofits. And this year, we're also looking at updating the energy conservation standard. And the state's Building Code Commission, which is a kind of an advisory body of which I'm a public member, we will be reviewing a suite of updates, including updating the minimum standards for commercial buildings to the newest standard.
Yeah, what standards are they using now?
The 2018 IECC, or International Energy Conservation Code.
But okay. What year? Is it like...
So, we're on the 2015 standard right now for commercial buildings.
Okay.
And we'll be... we're one of the first states to do a thorough review of the 2018 standards, and it looks like, the information that I have so far is we've had very positive conversations among the Building Code Commission about adopting the 2018 standard, as well as making a few tweaks to the residential energy code, where we're kind of on a hybrid between the 2009, 2012, and 2015. So it's somewhat outdated, but it has some of the framework of the newest standard. But we'll be trying to make a few amendments to that residential energy standard as well. And those are positive things, although it doesn't get us nearly as far as we need to get. We really need to transition to zero energy buildings where the building energy use is offset wholly or nearly entirely
right.
by on-site renewables. And the market for that is growing like crazy.
And that's getting sort of closer and more attainable,
it's
right?
It's absolutely getting more attainable. Mm. If you look at just how much energy a building uses under the latest 2018 standard, we're not too far off from a zero energy building. We still have a ways to go, but the technologies are all here. The design principles are all available. We don't need any kind of new technology or new approaches. We know how to do it. It's really just a matter of seeing more of these buildings built, teaching, you know, showing how they can be done with the technologies that we have today, just with a few different design practices and such.
Right.
And then promoting the kind of standards and certifications that exist. It's great to see, for example, that the Park City Municipal adopted a zero energy standard for its municipal facilities, and they're leading the way. And you know, we're talking with other jurisdictions and about, you know, following suit, and then promoting. You know, we can't adopt a zero energy standard for all buildings in the state of Utah because the legislature adopts construction standards, but we can promote standards on a voluntary basis, which we're working on.
Good.
Well.
That's very encouraging. Again, Luke Carton with Park City Municipal will be on the show next week to talk more about that, the city's building program. And again, if people want to learn more about what Utah Clean Energy is doing, what's the website?
Yeah, our website is utahcleanenergy.org, and we have a presence on Facebook as well as Twitter, and we have a newsletter. So
okay.
Go to our website and, utahcleanenergy.org and sign up.
Fantastic.
Kevin Emerson, he's the Energy Efficiency Program Director with Utah Clean Energy. Thanks again so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right.